you guys.
Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for all your support during our recently completed spring membership drive. We can't do it without you. Thanks to all of our renewing members, our new members, and everyone who helped get KBOO to this fantastic place it is today. We really appreciate it. Thank you. I wanna thank you, baby, for loving me. I wanna thank you, baby,
for loving me now. Good morning. It's 10 o'clock, and you're tuned to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned at 10:15 for Flashpoints. Today, Bernie Sanders visits the Bay Area, and also we hear excerpts from a new speech by Jeremy Scahill. And then at 11 on The Dirtbag, host Glenn Andreessen discusses the single most important thing you can do as a gardener, that is make and use compost. And for now, we're going to go to Air Cascadia with Chris Andre. Stay tuned for that, please.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, May 11th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real community radio at 90.7 FM on kboo.fm on the web. A little weather today, sunny, highs around 83, and calm winds. For tonight, clear skies, lows around 53, and a bit of a breeze. For tomorrow, once again, same pattern, same thing, highs around 83, light winds, and the same thing for Thursday night. And that's it for what we can expect in the outdoor world. The indoor world, as always, holds plenty of surprises. Victory of the Lummi Nation and the upholding of treaties. Treaties are very strange, slippery things. They frequently are made with knowledge on the white side of what the treaty actually says. And on the First Nations side, a lighthearted disregard for the rules of the road. Turns out that perhaps is the best way to flow. There were studies done recently in the Netherlands where certain towns decided to do away with traffic signals. In other words, get rid of the rules. And instead, they would have the intersections they put in roundabouts and so forth. And people were left to their own devices and their own basic decency to figure things out for themselves. It turns out when you're paying attention to what's going on in the world around you outside, you're paying attention to where you are and to where the other vehicles are, that there are fewer accidents, fewer instances of road rage, few instances of people lost going the wrong way. So it turns out that maybe the First Nations attitude towards treaties is the best attitude. Because, as it turns out, people were the whites on the white side. The treaties were flexible, slippery, and could be reinterpreted as needed, according to the profit that land was expected to generate. That said, we're going to move on to a hopeful situation today. We want to have Tim Ballew, chairman of the Lummi Nation, join us today. He's in a meeting right now, and he may or may not be able to be with us today. We'll see what happens there. Meanwhile, we touched on this story yesterday, and it is indeed extraordinary. Grant Township in Pennsylvania were hoping to be able to fight off the frackers. Here's what they did. The township supervisors passed a first-in-the-nation law legalizing, wait for it, direct action to stop fracking wastewater injection wells within their township. That's right. We did mention this yesterday. There's absolutely... I want to bring you a few developments there. The Pennsylvania General Electric Company went ahead and sued the township, of course, when this came through, to overturn that locally, democratically enacted law prohibiting injection wells. So now we await the results of that duel, Pennsylvania Township versus Gigantic Energy Company. And if a court does not uphold a people's right to stop corporate activities threatening the well-being of the community, then the ordinance codifies that, this is the quote, any natural person may then enforce the rights and prohibitions of the charter through direct action. So they're going to go ahead further. The ordinance states that any nonviolent direct action to enforce their charter is protected, prohibiting any private or public actor from bringing criminal charges or filing any civil or other criminal action against those participating in nonviolent direct action. So they've definitely, at this point, got themselves well covered. PGE is, of course, suing them. That's their response. And that's day two of the drama in Pennsylvania. This sets an extraordinary precedent, doesn't it? Because think of the power this ordinance would have where it enacted in communities around Oregon to prevent forests from being clear-cut, to prevent, say, the Elliott State Forest from being, as they say, thinned. Think about what it could do to protect our shores. The instance of Jordan Cove comes to mind. This is a very powerful weapon in the ongoing, the war words are always invoked in these situations. I suppose we will resort to combat and again to protect our what is regarded as natural resources. They're not. They're what they are. They are forests. They are rivers. They are streams. They are trees. They are resources only unto themselves. And we are charged with the job of protecting those resources. They're not there simply to generate profit for multinational companies. That's what this small township in Pennsylvania was able to do. If they can do it there, we can certainly do it here. Moving right along, forging ahead with momentum from two wins in the past week, Bernie Sanders really seems to be on a tear in San Francisco today. Really, the eyes of the nation are watching him. It's funny that the media, there is actually more grassroots interest in Bernie Sanders than there is in Donald Trump. It's just that the media adores Donald Trump and has signed on to his bandwagon in no matter what. Still waiting, hopefully, to hear from Tim Ballou with the Lummi Nation to bring us a direct report from what happened there. This victory is, in fact, as many of you listeners probably are aware, it has actually been covered in mainstream media, which I would definitely include our local public radio affiliate. They have been covering this. And that said, this again sets a precedent for other tribes, other nations around the country, that if these treaties, which were never negotiated in good faith anyway, if they really are upheld and enforced, then that is a victory. But they were never intended to be. They were simply there to be 1855, was simply there more or less as a marker on the playing field, because as those who were the signatories of that treaty were well aware, the times change, and what the previously mentioned resources, in other words, trees, rivers, streams, shores, all that became more and more profitable in the years to come. They wanted to make absolutely sure that the treaties that were signed by First Nations were always and in every instance signed in the favor of the profiteers on the white side. And that said, big oil has finally, we hope, abandoned the $2.5 billion in U.S. Arctic drilling rights. So that, again, another big win that was chalked up on the side of those who are good stewards of our natural world. However, there's still an awful lot of oil down under. And it the idea of asking big oil companies to leave it in the ground seems preposterous. Somehow the temptation is going to prove too great, and they are at some future date going to go after that oil. It would seem to be a good idea all round if we did enact laws that preserved that oil, which is still in the ground. If you leave it in the ground, all of us have a future. If it's extracted and turned into our new and warming atmosphere, then we all lose, and we lose very, very big this time. But what is there to stop oil companies from going after it? Even if the U.S., moment, perhaps a Bernie Sanders presidency would be a done deal, leaving the Arctic oil reserves wide open to Chinese and Russian exploration. It's going to happen one way or another, unless it is finally sealed off by. Again, maybe we do need a treaty that does, in fact, actually and in real time protect the natural resources that lie underneath those Arctic seas, which are melting, of course, at a rate far more rapid than anyone ever expected. We're totally unprepared. There is really only one solution, and that is limiting consumption. And the only way to limit consumption is to limit consumers, which means putting a cap on population, because the Earth has a carrying capacity. It is a habitat. The planet is an environment. It can only stand so many members of any one species, and after that, it starts to crash. It's not a question of is this going to happen. It definitely is. And again, we are still hopefully waiting to see if Tim Ballou will be able to join us today. That proposed coal terminal for Cherry Point is finally dead after the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers denied the permit that was required for it to go forward. The Corps ruled that the project would impact the treaty-protected fishing rights of the Lummi Nation based on the fact that the proposed trestle and associated wharf would take up 144 acres. Lummi members cheered, of course, and that's exactly what we're trying to celebrate with them. The decision was considered by SSA Marine to be a major blow, but probably only to SSA Marine and its shareholders. That company owns 51% and of the estimated $700 million project. So last month, it had suspended work on an environmental review while it awaited the decision. Now the project has been heatedly debated for years, and the outcome, the backers cited the need of living wage jobs. That's a joke. That's always the way. Whatever any profit generating aspect of the environment is in play, all you need to do is walk into the room and yell jobs, and everyone drops what they're doing and rushes over to the wrong side of the boat. Those backing the project now have few options to possibly revive it. SSA Marine can change the project so it doesn't significantly impact treaty rights, and they think that they might reach an agreement with the Lummi Nation. The Lummi Nation thinks that will never happen. The court decision followed a request by Lummi Nation last in January of 2015 to protect the tribe's treaty rights. And this is chairman, Tim Ballou. We do at least have a quote from him if we don't have the Lummi chairman himself. This is it. It says it's a historic victory for treaty rights and our constitution. It's a historic victory for the Lummi Nation and our entire region. We are pleased to see that the Corps has honored the treaty and the constitution by providing a decision that recognizes the terminal's impact to our fishing rights. This decision is a win for the treaty and protects our sacred site, our ancient ones. Sherry Point will rest protected. And next up, just before we go out, SCOTUS, here we come, Nevada, Roger, Clive, and Bundy. Yes, remember the standoff? It was straight out of Spaghetti Western at his ranch and a couple of years ago. So now, Clive and Bundy is suing the federal judge handling his criminal case stemming from that standoff with a complaint that accuses President. He's suing Barack Obama, Senator Harry Reid, and the judge. That said, this has been Echo Cascadia for Wednesday, May 11th, 2016. Tammy Dean, engineer of the show for today. Thanks so much, Tammy. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
On Progressive Spirit, everyone's favorite atheist, Dan Barker, talks about his new book,